بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن عبد الله بن سرجس رضي الله عنه قال: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سافر يتعوذ من وعثاء السفر وكآبة المنقلب والحور بعد الكون ودعوة المظلوم وسوء المنظر في الأهل والمال. رواه مسلم. هكذا هو في صحيح مسلم: الحور بعد الكون بالنون. وكذا رواه الترمذي والنسائي. وقال الترمذي: ويروى الكور بالراء، وكلاهما له وجه. Continuing with the chapter which deals with the various du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited on the onset of a journey, and as we mentioned in the last hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite this dua with an addition on returning from a journey also. The narrator of this hadith, Abdullah bin Sarjis radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would undertake a journey, he would seek protection min wa'atha is safar, from the difficulties of a journey, wa ka'abatil munqalab, and from undesirable return. As we mentioned previously, when one is undertaking a journey, on the one side we learn part of the dua, anta sahibu fil safar, O Allah, become my companion in this journey, wal khalifatu fil ahl, and become my vicegerent, overseer with regards to my family. This is a natural instinctive concern. When you go for a journey, you leave your home, you leave your business behind, you leave your beloved behind, you leave your family behind. Now in your absence, this concern about them, what is going to happen during this period of absence? As I mentioned previously, it's one of three possibilities. When you return, things are better than they were before you left, things are the same, or in the third case, things have retrogressed. Some problem has happened, some afat, some musibat, some calamity. Allah protect us, sometimes the house may have burned down. Somebody may have passed away in your absence. There may have been a break-in. There may have been somebody, if your family became sick, some difficulty or financial problem, challenge occurred. So we learned this comprehensive dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. That when you leave them behind, make this dua that Allah ta'ala protects that su'il munqalab. When I return, Ya Allah, don't let it be that I am returning to something that is undesirable. And we find this expression in this dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, wal hawr ba'dal kawn. And we find that in another riwayat, that of Tirmizi Sharif, wal hawr ba'dal kawr. Now this is an Arabic expression which alludes to a similar meaning which I have just mentioned. In other words, retrogression after progress. Stable state to a state of decrease. This Hawr Ba'd al-Kawr, ulama say, alludes to what we call Takwirul Imama. When a person has to put on an Imama, a turban, the cloth which is used can sometimes be overturned. We find in Salatul Istisqa also, in the masnoon manner in which the dua for the salah that is read, when dua is made for rain, the imam is required to flip over his jubba. Now what is this flipping over of the jubba or the turning of the amama? In other words, it alludes towards a changing of conditions. In this instance, Ya Allah, I'm seeking your protection from a change of something good to bad, stable to unstable, and more importantly, to being misguided towards dalalat after you gave me hidayat. Steadfastness, after being steadfast on good deeds, to go In other words, for there to be a decrease, not only in my dunya, but for there to be a decrease and decline in my deen. This is a very, very important lesson we are learning from the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't take anything for granted. First of all, don't unnecessarily go on a journey. And when you go on a journey, this worry and concern that you are leaving behind your family, etc., your responsibility, Ya Allah, make it such that when we come back, they are in a better, not only physical and financial state, they must be in a better deeni state. And you yourself also, your level of taqwa and iman, maybe you were regularly attending the masjid for salah, now you go on a journey, you go on some holiday, when you come back, it mustn't be that some retrogression in your iman and taqwa and deen has occurred. So we learn all this in the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Coming back to the riwayat of Abdullah bin Sarjis radiallahu ta'ala anhu, our beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would proceed on a journey, he would seek protection from the difficulties of the journey. He would also seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from ka'abatil munqalab, that is an undesirable return, evil condition upon return, wal hawri ba'dal kawn, retrogression after progress. And the fourth thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would seek protection, da'watil madloom. Da'watil madloom. O Allah, I seek protection from the dua or the bad dua or the curse of the oppressed one. We find in hadith we are taught, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ittaqi da'watil madloom. Fear the dua. Fear the dua of an oppressed person. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ, because there is no barrier or obstacle between that dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, you ask yourself this question, what is the link or the connection with safar and journey? Why particularly on a journey Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make this dua? Ya Allah, ask your protection from the dua or the curse of the mazloom or the oppressed. From this, what is the link? First point, very, very important. Before you go on a journey, get your affairs in order. If you have oppressed someone, if you are owing somebody financially, if you have done wrong to someone, if you have severed family ties, etc., you don't know if you're going to come back from this journey. This journey should remind you of the journey to Akhirat, which is inevitably coming, from which you are not going to be coming back. So, because there is no guarantee of any return, a lot of times, many of us, sometimes you're going for Hajj, or it's some big night, then we suddenly become conscious, must ask people for maaf, and get my affairs in order, etc. From this Hajj dua, we learn any journey. When you're going on a journey, before that journey, get your affairs in order, as there is no guarantee of any of your return. And over and above that, ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seek protection in a journey from the dua of the oppressed. In other words, be especially careful yourself on this particular journey not to oppress anyone by being unjust in your transactions, being unjust towards your fellow travelers, etc. If you are buying a plane ticket or a train ticket or using public transport, don't pull a job. Pay for the ticket. Don't oppress anyone financially in any aspect of your journey. And those that are traveling with you also, do not oppress them in any way. All these important lessons we learn from this aspect of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yata'awwadh min da'watil mazloom. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would seek protection from the dua of the oppressed one. And finally, wasu'il manzar fil ahl wal mal, from being exposed to a bad sight with regards to your family and wealth. In other words, particularly on your return, that Ya Allah, keep my family with afiyat, let it not be that I come back and find the situation has retrogressed in any way, and let it not be that there should be any laxity on my obedience to you after being steadfast prior to this journey. وعن علي بن ربيعة قال شهدت علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه أتي بدابة ليركبها فلما وضع رجله في الركاب قال بسم الله فلما استوى على ظهرها قال الحمد لله ثم قال سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون ثم قال الحمد لله 3 مرات ثم قال الله أكبر 3 مرات ثم قال سبحانك إني ظلمت نفسي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت ثم ضحك فقيل يا أمير المؤمنين من أي شيء ضحكت قال رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعل كما فعلت ثم ضحك فقلت يا رسول الله من أي شيء ضحكت قال إن ربك يعجب من عبده إذا قال اغفر لي ذنوبي يعلم أنه لا يغفر الذنوب غيري رواه أبو داود والترمذي وقال حديث حسن. This is the last chapter in this particular, this is the last hadith in this particular chapter which deals with the dua of the musafir. And as I mentioned previously, please, my respected brothers, these are not just for listening to. Try and learn these du'as. Implement these very beautiful du'as and sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because almost daily, to various degrees and extents, we are undertaking journeys. You sit in your car, you're going to work, you're going somewhere, read the various du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Ali bin Rabi'a narrates that I was with Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the beloved cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also the son-in-law of Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his conveyance was brought so that he could mount it. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَ رِجْلَهُ فِي الرِّكَابِ, when he placed his foot in the stirrup, when you're mounting a camel or a horse, first thing you're going to do is you're going to place your foot in the stirrup. When he placed his foot in the stirrup, he recited Bismillah. فَلَمَّا اسْتَوَى عَلَى ظَهْرِهَا, and then when he sat upright on the back of this particular animal, camel, horse, whatever it may be, he said Alhamdulillah. So if you want to try and equate this now to our situation, when you open the door, you're about to enter the car, there you will say Bismillah. When you sit inside now, then you will say Alhamdulillah. Thereafter, so Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. Thereafter, he began the dua, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha, wama kunna lahu muqrinin, wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Pak, pure, free from every defects is my Allah, who has placed in my service this particular means of conveyance. I could never ever have been able to control it or subjugate it. And eventually, I will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, he said, Alhamdulillah 3 times. Then he said, Allahu Akbar 3 times. So, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha, wama kunna lahu muqrinin, wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Alhamdulillah, 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 Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then he said, Subhanaka inni zalamtu nafsi, faghfirli, fa'innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. And then he smiled. We've reached the run out of time, so inshallah we'll continue.